Today, as we continue working our way through the life of David, I just got to stop. That feels good. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Wow. As we continue working our way through the life of David, I'm going to ask if you would open in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 9. Today, we're going to look at verses 1 through 13, which actually is the entire chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 7, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago, it showed this Davidic covenant, this promise that God makes to David. And then this prayer that David gives, a marvelous prayer in response to God's promise to allow his kingdom to last forever. And then 2 Samuel chapter 8, which we looked at last week, it shows us how God's kingdom, how it was established under David when he defeated all the surrounding nations and God expanded his kingdom to what he had originally promised to Abraham. And after David had reigned in Jerusalem for some time, he asked if there were any descendants of King Saul to whom he might be able to show some kindness for Jonathan's sake. And he learned that Jonathan had a surviving son. His name was Mephibosheth, though he was crippled in both feet. And so 2 Samuel 9, our scripture today, it gives us this beautiful demonstration of kindness. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read through our scripture, 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. And then we will continue to talk about David's kindness toward Mephibosheth. David asked, "Is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lo-Debar." So King David had him brought from Lo-Debar from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth?" "At your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. He was lame in both feet. Thank you. You may be seated, and may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Amen. Our scripture today, it is about Mephibosheth and particularly about David's kindness to him. It is a wonderful story of kindness from which we can learn a great deal. The very first thing that we see as we work through our scripture is that this kindness, it is initiated. Verse 1, we read, "And David said, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now, I want to go and remind you of some of the characters that we have in this chapter. Saul, he had been the king over Israel, and David eventually succeeded him as the king over Israel. Saul and three of his sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, they all died there in the battle against the Philistines up on Mount Gilboa. And Jonathan and David, you may remember, they were best friends. They were BFFs, best friends forever. And so many years earlier, Jonathan understood that God was giving the kingdom to David. And Jonathan, he was very supportive of all that. He made a covenant with David in which he made David promise to not cut off your steadfast love from my house forever when the Lord cuts off every one of your enemies of David's from the face of the earth. And so David has been reigning for a while, and things in the kingdom, they start to quiet down. The dust begins to settle. And so David thought about the covenant promise that he had made to Jonathan, and he wondered, is there anyone left in Saul's household to whom I can show this kindness? Now, the Hebrew word for kindness, it is hesed, and it is very important. It is used 249 times in the Old Testament. Its most common sense is in the sense of a loyal love. It's used that way 206 times. The sense of loyal love is an unfailing kind of love, a kindness that continues and extends, a goodness. It's often used as God's love as it's related in his faithfulness and his covenant. When it's used this way, it's translated as steadfast love, which is the exact same word that Jonathan made David promise when he made him promise to not cut off your steadfast love from my house forever. So the word that was used in 1 Samuel chapter 20 at verse 15, which was translated as steadfast love, is the same word that is used here in 2 Samuel chapter 9 at verse 1 that is translated as kindness. See, kindness has the sense of this kind act. So David wanted to fulfill this covenant promise to Jonathan. And that's why he asked, is there still anyone left in the household of Saul that I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there is a very important lesson here for us. The lesson is that of the importance of keeping our covenant promises. And as Christians, we make a lot of covenant promises. As people, we make covenant promises. The most common covenant promise would be the marriage vow. When one man and one woman, they pledge faithful love to each other and no one else. And this vow is often disregarded. Judging by the large number of divorces that take place in our culture and in our society. But you see, it should not be that way. When we make a promise, when we make a covenant promise, when we make a vow, we should keep them. And David understood that covenant promises, they were meant to be kept. And that is why he wanted to make sure that he was keeping his covenant promise to Jonathan. And so he asked, is there still anyone left in the household that I can show this kindness? And David's told there's one of servants of Saul's named Ziba. And the king says to Ziba, is there not still someone of the house that I may show kindness of God to him? And Ziba says, there's still the son of Jonathan, but he's crippled in both feet. And so the king says to Ziba, well, where is he? And Ziba says, he is in the house of Machir, who's the son of Amiel, in Lo Debar. One commentator thinks that by this time, Mephibosheth was somewhere around 20, maybe 21 years old. And if you remember from our stories back a little ways, when Jonathan and Saul and all of them, when they were all killed, when they died in the battle, Mephibosheth was about 5 years old when his maidservant was trying to hurry out of the house and she dropped him and he's crippled. So 16 years have gone by. And now David is trying to fulfill, wanting to fulfill this promise. The lesson that I want to emphasize here is that David, he took the initiative to fulfill this covenant promise to Jonathan. Mephibosheth, he did not take the initiative. He may have been totally unaware of David's thinking. Perhaps he had never even heard of this covenant promise that was made between his father, Jonathan, and David. And he's living out in Lo Debar, which actually means no pasture. And so Mephibosheth, he was not only dispossessed of his family land, but he was living in a barren place where there was no pasture. He was disabled, he was poor, and he was destitute. And Mephibosheth is a very vivid description of each and every unbeliever. Every unbeliever is spiritually disabled, poor, and destitute. But the good news of the gospel, it teaches us that David's greater son, Jesus Christ, he takes the initiative to bring kindness, that is God's steadfast love, to us. So let's see how. Because the second thing we see is that this kindness is provided in verses 5 and into the first part of verse 6. So King David had him brought from Lo-Debar from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. You see, in those days, when a king ascended to the throne, they usually killed off every possible rival to the throne, especially family members of the previous king. And that is exactly what Jonathan did not want to happen when he made David promise that he would not do that. But Mephibosheth, he does not know this. You can just imagine how terrified Mephibosheth must be as the king's emissaries show up and they're taking him to go before the king. He must be thinking that he's about to have his head chopped off. He is entering into the presence of the king only to have his identity confirmed before being killed. And we read that David says, "Mephibosheth," to which he answers, "At your service." See, he had no reason whatsoever to expect any kind of kindness from David. So you have to imagine Mephibosheth's astonishment when David says to him, "Don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, and you will always eat at my table." And this verse, it stands at the very center of this narrative. It is the key verse of this entire chapter, of the drama of everything that's taking place in this chapter. The words, "Don't be afraid," they often precede promises. The promises come to people who have every reason to be afraid. And Mephibosheth, he had every reason to be afraid. But David quieted his fears when he says, "For surely I will show you kindness." And David's promise to provide kindness to Mephibosheth, it points us to the promise of Jesus to provide kindness to us. Jesus once said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." You see, we all, each one of us, we were once spiritually dead. We were disabled. We were poor. We were destitute. But God, he will make each and every one of us citizens of his kingdom, and we can be with him forever. The lesson for us is that Christians, we are the recipient of God's unmerited, his gracious kindness. We deserve absolutely nothing from God. We are languishing in our own spiritual desert. But then Jesus, he found us, he saved us, he showed us his kindness. And a response to Jesus should be exactly the same as that of Mephibosheth to David. "Behold, I am your servant." You see, having been saved by the grace of God, we are now servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it should be our joy and our privilege to be able to serve him all the days of our lives. And so this kindness, it was initiated, and the kindness, it was provided to Mephibosheth. And finally, we see that this kindness, it was experienced by Mephibosheth. David called Ziba, Saul's servant, and he told him that all that belonged to Saul and his family, it now belonged to Mephibosheth. Even more than that, Ziba's and his sons and his servants, they were going to farm the land. They were going to take care of the land so that Mephibosheth would always be taken care of and that he would always have bread to eat. And on top of all of that, Mephibosheth, he was always going to eat at the king's table. And twice it's actually affirmed in our scripture that Mephibosheth ate at David's table. In the second part of verse 11, so Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And then the first part of verse 13, and Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. Now, Dr. J.I. Packer, he was an influential author. He was a professor and a theologian. And he is credited with these words. Listen to what he said. Adoption is the highest privilege of the gospel. The traitor is forgiven, brought in for supper, and given the family name. To be right with God, the judge, is a great thing. But to be loved and cared for by God the Father is greater. Now, Mephibosheth, he was no traitor in the proper sense of the word. But after the death of his grandfather, King Saul, things did not look good for him. The future was not bright for him. He may very well have thought that David viewed him as a traitor, thought that he was a traitor. He was from the other team, the other side. But David initiated this kindness toward Mephibosheth. He provided that kindness to Mephibosheth. And then Mephibosheth, he experienced the kindness of David. He was adopted, as it were, into David's family. He was viewed as part of David's family. He was free to enjoy supper with David all the days of his life. And again, David's actions point us to his greater son, Jesus Christ. You see, we experience the kindness of Jesus when we are the recipients of his grace. We are adopted into his family, and we are loved and we are cared for by the Father. We become co-heirs with Jesus. Now, some of you may not be aware of this, and I asked permission to share a little bit briefly, but last Sunday, we went out to dinner with a very large group of people, lunch, dinner, whatever it was, because last Saturday, 8 days ago, Dawn, she celebrated 17 years of being adopted. That's amazing, yeah. You see, John and Karen Osborne, they decided that they wanted to adopt Dawn. They chose her to be in their family, and they went through the process, and they have adopted her, which means she has every right, every privilege, just like Lacey and Andrew do. She is part of that family, but the greater thing is she's not only part of that little family, she's part of the bigger family, that whole family, and that's what it is. That's what it's like to be adopted into God's family. You belong in his family, the big part of it all, and so Dawn, she is loved, and she is cared for. She is part of that family. Amen. And the lesson for us is that we experience the kindness of Jesus when we are adopted into the family of God. You see, before we were on the outside, we're just looking in. But once the kindness of God came into our lives, we become adopted sons and daughters of the living God. And that's the highest privilege in all of the gospel. You see, as we look at this portion of Scripture and we see David's kindness to Mephibosheth, we should be assured of God's kindness to us. And if you are assured of God's kindness, if you know that his kindness, his grace is being poured out on you, let me encourage you to share it with others. Michael Bentley, he tells a story about when he was a young teenager. There was this married couple in their church who were very kind to him. They were not very well off. They lived in a small rented house. The husband had a very poorly paying job. Their possessions, they were few. They had no television, but they had a radio. They had no car. But they were very generous to several of the youngsters within the church. And every Sunday, they would invite these youngsters to go with them for tea. And sometimes they even went back to the house after the evening service. Michael, he enjoyed those evenings. And yet there was one thing that worried him. How was he ever going to be able to repay them for their kindness? The answer came one Sunday evening as they were listening to what was then called the BBC Home Service. Charles Maxwell, who was a former war correspondent, he was telling the audience of an experience he had during one of the recent wars about a time when he came across a group of soldiers who offered him a cup of tea and some food from their very meager rations, and he sat and he ate with them for a little bit, and just as he was about to leave, he said, "It is unlikely that we shall ever meet again. So how can I repay you for your kindness?" To which one of the soldiers merely responded, "Pass it on, mate." There's a popular phrase that we have these days. It's called pay it forward. Maybe you've heard of it. You know, that phrase is actually credited to an author. Her name is Lily Hardy Hammond. In a book that she wrote all the way back in 1916, Here's the line. You don't pay love back. You pay it forward. In essence, you know, Jesus told his disciples to do that exact same thing in John chapter 13, verse 34, when he told them to love one another. You see, God has given us so much. Things such as our abilities, our talents, our resources. His word, he has poured these things out on us. He continually blesses us. And he'll be faithful to give us opportunities to share these with other people. Has God blessed you? Has God been pouring his steadfast love, his chesed, his kindness into your life? As we wrap it up, the question is, would you be willing to give that to others? Would you be willing to pay it forward? Would you be willing to let Jesus shine through you?